surveillance company Vumacam has been accused of infringing on people's fundamental human rights, including the right to privacy, freedom of association, and freedom of movement. Investigative journalist Heidi Swart has warned that Vumacam is setting themselves up to have thousands of linked electronic eyes on citizens at all times. We speak now to Vumacam CEO Ricky Crook on surveillance. Ricky, good morning. Welcome to Radio Islam International, and thank you for your patience.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So what exactly is the role of the or purpose of surveillance, particularly in South Africa at present?
So surveillance is something that we think is necessary. Just because of the high crime rates that we're experiencing, the evolution of security is to get the combination of technology and manpower working together, because it's impossible to have the right people in the right places all at the right time. And if you can get cameras that can tell you that there's a problem when it's happening, so that you can get your resources there, well, then that's going to be most effective.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about surveillance and cameras in our suburbs and shopping centers and all of that, I think it makes people a little concerned, because the one thing that we worry about, obviously, is privacy. So how would this work? Because I think a lot of people think, we've been watching, if you look at some of the countries like the UK or China, for that matter, I think that's where some of the concerns come from, because of the facial profiling and things like that. So when we talk about this, when we looking at it here in South Africa, how do we allay the fears of our citizens?
Perfect. So privacy is the utmost importance to us. We're not here to spy on anybody. We're not here to, really how the technology works is to say blank screen technology, only if there's an alert. So an alert is going to be a vehicle of interest, which is, been on the police database, been involved in a crime, or acting suspicious, that it alerts the local security company, who then sends a vehicle out to investigate that. With the overview cameras, it also works on blank screen technology, and the AR works in such a way that it only picks up unusual activity. So someone running, someone falling, a car door opening, a car accident happening. We don't have people. Firstly, we're just the platform. So our partner is the security company. So we work with the security industry and all the relevant security companies. They, through their control rooms, they then have access to these alerts that pop up in their control room and tell them something's happening at this point in time. Please send out a vehicle to investigate further. So this isn't something that people are, sitting and watching every movement or watching you going into different stores. It's only if something unusual happens to then tell the operator to say, listen, something unusual, please have a look and investigate a bit further. And, otherwise it's impossible to watch all of this footage, and it's none of our business. We're not trying to see where people are going all the time. We're just saying, guys, there's high crime rates, and what can we do about it?
So who has access to that information? And if it is stored, I'm sure that the information is obviously stored, all of that data. Who would keep the data, and if that data is required, like for instance, say a police investigation, how would people access that?
Yeah, perfect. So we just provide, the platform. We store all the data. We protect all the data. So we take it to a data center, which is a tier 4 data center, which, it's the same data center that your banks and your insurance companies and everyone else is holding up this, this information. And only in such a way, when someone requires it because it needs to go to court, then they have to request a footage request form from us. We then go back, and through the system, make sure that it is the right person. Before any company has to come on, we vet them. We make sure they're part of the Eyes and Ears initiative, which is, with Business Against Crime, and making sure that the guys are fully authorized, they're vetted, they're making, they are a correct security company. And then we make that security company a responsible party in accordance with the FOPIA Act. And then we then, make sure that we then can control that process to make sure it doesn't land up into the wrong hands and used for the wrong reasons.
All right. Now, Vumacam has been accused of lying repeatedly to the public and also to the High Court about the surveillance system compliance, particularly with privacy regulations. What is your reaction to that accusation?
Yeah, it's completely inaccurate. At the time of making the statement, our software provider that we got some of the software from were GDPR compliant. And, at that point in time when we made the statement, that was the status. And obviously that was back in 2019. So, you know, we don't mind that journalists are querying and understanding, because it's important for us. They want to keep us honest, keep us on our toes, make sure that, you know, that we are doing everything above board. But, you know, to go back to 2019 and then to, you know, to use words like "you're lying" and "you lied in a false accusation" is quite serious. And we are reviewing our legal options at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So maybe give us a little bit of an idea how the cameras work. I mean, in Johannesburg at the moment, apparently from the article, there are 5,000 cameras that are up and running. The article also alluded to the fact that, you know, these would be linked in security malls or rather shopping malls, and all of this data would be collected by yourselves. And then any company that would be a security companies would have access to this data, as you were explaining to us. How would the system actually be working, you know, with regards to the software and all of that? Just so that our listeners understand and don't, you know, have the concerns that they may with regards to the fact that, you know, there can be facial profiling and all of that, because I think that's where the concerns come up from what we've seen around the world.
Perfect. And I think they're valid concerns. You know, we think long and hard about it. We've got, you know, different work groups, and we work with lots of different universities and big companies, as well as very close to our Business Against Crime and Business Leadership, with SAPs and, yes, you know, the different posts. So we think that, you know, the platform that pulls the public sector to the private sector and everyone working in conjunction, you know, in the fight against crime, and has proved to be very successful, with maybe 3 to 4 arrests on a daily basis. So, you know, just to curb the question around, you know, the privacy, and we don't use any facial recognition cameras. So we don't have facial recognition cameras. We, you know, the software that we use enables and allows for facial recognition. We don't think that the facial recognition is at the level that it needs to be at, but also, you know, with according to that, you know, POPI and all of these regulations, until it's very clearly defined and it's very, you know, there's a use case, and also there's no database against it. So even if you've got a facial, what are you looking up against to match who that person is, you know, to tell you that that person? With the license plate recognition, there is that database. So as soon as your car has been involved in a crime, it's put onto a database. We then take our camera, scan against that database. So the car goes past one of our cameras and is on one of those databases. Then it pops up into the control room. Then it alerts the security company, a stolen car has just come into this area. You know, potentially they're going to go and cause another incident. Please prevent that incident from taking place.
All right, that gives us quite a good understanding of what it is that the cameras can and cannot do. Thank you so much. We do appreciate your time, and we do appreciate you giving us, you know, a different insight and you know, putting us into the picture as well. We do really appreciate that, and hopefully we can talk to you again as, you know, maybe the system gets bigger, and from the research that you're probably doing as well, because I'm sure that you are looking to see how all of this would be working for you, positive or negative, as time goes by.
100%. Thanks so much for your time.
You're most welcome, Ricky. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Ricky Crook from VumaCam telling us about their network, camera network, and also allaying some of the fears that, you know, people have had. It's also their response to the journalist Heidi Swart, who'd written an article in the Daily Maverick with regards to the allegations made against them. So, you know, cameras are being put up. I mean, if you go to the UK, apparently, I think they are, for a certain distance, you have so many cameras put up, most of their light poles. And there's a camera for every 14 people, the last time I checked the stats. So obviously, you know, most countries are doing that, and it's usually for crime prevention. In China, we know that there's a lot of, you know, issues with regards to facial profiling, especially within the Uyghur community. And I think a lot of our concerns stem from those kinds of things. But it's becoming a standard across the world for, you know, these cameras to be put up. So because most of the time, it's for fighting crime. But what, interestingly, Ricky was explaining that you have to have a database in which that camera can pick up something in order for it to compare it to. And without that database, you're not going to be able to do that. So for facial profiling, you know, you'd have to link up to a database that holds all of our pictures. And even though that may be the ability lays in the fact that we do have our pictures, you know, on the database, they'd have to link up to that. And the POPI Act obviously would come into play as well. So a lot more to find out, but I think some of our questions have been answered. And inshallah, going forward, maybe we can keep tabs on this and find out more about what is happening with regards to it. So that's the interview with Vumacam and their CEO, Ricky Crooks, on surveillance and their right to reply. We go